Chapter 4. "Don't you want the town to get better?" I asked in a casual voice. I kept my posture straight and prepared myself for the worst, while outwardly I projected calm and cool.
"It was fine before you showed up!"
Stryker yelled, and someone down the street turned to stare in our direction. The barkeep's arm muscles bunched as he clenched and unclenched his fists, and the muscle in his jaw was jumping up and down like he was chewing on a bouncy ball. "Why are you mad?" I was starting to lose my patience with the unreasonable man. "I'm helping the town."
"Yeah, bullshit!"
Stryker muttered as he spat, and then he swiped his mouth with the back of his hand.
"You're helping yourself. You've got the nicest house in town now, don't you?"
"The mayor's house is actually nicer at the moment," I argued, but my voice fell on deaf ears.
"And another thing, who told you you could take all our women?"
The barkeep continued to rant.
"Just because you're a god doesn't give you the right to take what you want whenever you want it. These are good people. They don't deserve to be treated like slaves."
"Hold on right there," I interrupted in a loud voice. "I'm not treating anyone like a slave. And if you speak about my women again, I'm going to have to smack your bitch ass around." Stryker glared at me, but he shut his mouth with a snap. He obviously believed I would be true to my word, but he also looked like he would take me up on the threat. I hoped it didn't come to that, but if it did, I knew I would come out on top.
"You're changing things around that no one asked you to mess with. Making a new council of elders and picking who gets a say in the town. Everyone I see just goes on and on about bash, bash, bash."
"Well..." Stryker gave me a dark look as he pulled himself up a little straighter.
"It makes me want to bash your head in."
The barkeep crossed his arms to emphasize his strength, and his muscles rippled as he flexed. "If that's the way it's going to be, then take your best shot." Suddenly, Stryker lunged at me, and it was only my split-second reflexes that saved my face from his flying fist. I ducked beneath his overhead swing and danced out of reach on the balls of my feet. I'd watched enough boxing to imitate the movements, plus I'd gotten loads of experience from my recent battles. I could handle a fist fight with an angry tavern owner easily. Stryker growled and came at me again, but this time he held his clenched fists up in front of his face. I couldn't see his expression, but his anger and hatred radiated off him like a cloud of negativity. We paced in a circle, and I noticed a crowd beginning to form out of the corner of my eye. Stryker definitely had some balls to even go up against a god in the first place, so I was sure everyone in town would want to see how well he did against me. I spotted Elrin's worried eyes in the midst of the horde of people who surrounded us, and I wished there was a way to reassure the mayor without revealing too much. Stryker swung again, and he aimed for my midriff. I blocked his punch with my forearm, and then I swiveled away from him again. I decided it was time to go on the offensive, so I bounced from left to right to entice him closer, and when he took the bait, I popped out a right hook and smacked my fist into his temple. I could practically see the stars in his eyes as he shook his head, but when his eyes met mine again, they were even angrier than before. I considered resetting to my previous save before we'd exchanged blows, but then I decided I wanted to see how this attempt played out. So I hopped forward a few paces and then ducked beneath Stryker's wild haymaker. My battle instincts kicked in, and I saw the opening before me almost in slow motion. Then I tackled the barkeep around the waist, and I knocked him down to the ground. It only took me a second to position myself on top of him, and I started to rain my fists of fury down onto his head. I slammed punch after punch into his face until it was nothing but a swollen pulp, but then I realized what I'd just done. Stryker didn't move as I scrambled to my feet. My hands were covered in blood, and they shook too much for me to be able to make a fist, so I figured they were probably broken. I was breathing hard, and my vision was tinged with red. The crowd around me was completely silent.
"You killed him!"
a voice suddenly called out. Then everyone was clamoring at once. They were incredibly upset at the death of one of their own, and I realized I'd been right about killing the barkeep. Everyone loved the person who served them alcohol, and I didn't really present a good reason for beating him to death before I did it. In the blink of an eye, I'd lost all the love, trust, and admiration I'd built up over the last several days, and there was no way I was going to let all my hard work go to waste. I didn't want to rule these people with fear, so I let out a heavy sigh and reloaded my save point.
Ding!
You!
Stryker shouted.
What do you think you're doing to Addington?
Stryker? I began in a cautious tone. The town was renamed in my honor. I believe Bastionville deserves the best, don't you? I was determined to keep the conversation as civil as possible. I didn't want it to get to the point of a fight again, so I'd have to tread very carefully.
I've lived here since the town was formed. I think I would know better than some boy playing God.
You think I'm playing? I asked with a coolly arched eyebrow. Stryker barked out a mirthless laugh.
Pah! You may be a skilled fighter, but you alone cannot save this town.
I'd love to hear more of your suggestions for how to make the town better. Perhaps we could discuss it over a beer. I'll pour.
Well, yeah. Well, no one's ever offered me a beer before,
the barkeep said as he furrowed his brow and narrowed his eyes.
What's in it for you?
I know you are concerned about the changes I've been making around here, I said with a small shrug of my shoulders. It would benefit me to figure out how to make you happy.
You want to make me happy?
The disbelief in his voice was obvious. Of course. I gave the angry man a broad smile. You're one of my people, after all. My job is to increase the standard of living for every citizen of Bastionville. It's the least I could do after how generous everyone's been toward me. Stryker mumbled something unintelligible, and then he jerked his head toward the street behind him.
Well, come on, then. My tavern's that way.
Then the tavern owner turned and walked away without another word. I followed in his wake, but I didn't try to make idle conversation while we walked. He was obviously intent on waiting until we had beers in front of us before he'd say any more. Once we entered the tavern, I took a moment to look around, and I made a new save point. It looked like the place may have been very well decorated in the past. In fact, there were shadows of grime on the walls that signified where paintings used to be. The ceiling was low, and the beams were bare wood, wider than my arms. The bar was made from the same kind of lumber, and it was burnished to a shine from some kind of oil. The tavern was clean and free of cobwebs, but the tables were all empty, with the chairs turned upside down on top of them. Stryker claimed a bar stool and leaned against the counter with a loud exhale. I maneuvered around the bar, scanned the area, retrieved two mugs, and filled them with beer. I handed one to Stryker and kept the other, and then I took a bar stool by his side. Something is weighing on you, I said in a vague, knowing voice. Why do you doubt me? Have I wronged you in some way?
Not yet,
Stryker scoffed, and he took a long swig of his drink.
Knowing your type, though, it's only a matter of time.
Time is meaningless to me, I said flippantly with a wave of my hand. Have you encountered someone like me before?
Yeah.
The barkeep grumbled, but he avoided my eyes.
There was a man who came through a town I once lived in.
Ah, I can see where this is going.
Aye, just like you. He called himself a god. Half the idiots there believed him.
What did this fake god do? I asked in an innocent tone, and I took a long drink from my mug as I gave him a moment to gather the words. Stryker glared at me and muttered something into his beer that I couldn't hear. What was that? I asked as I leaned forward.
I said I don't want to talk about it!
Stryker roared in response. I rolled my eyes at the melodramatic barkeep, and then I reloaded my previous save.
Ding!
Stryker sat down, I poured beers, and once we'd both drank for a moment, I cleared my throat. You've encountered a false god before my arrival, I said in an all-knowing voice. But you can trust in me. for I am not the same.
I can't know that for certain, now can I?
Stryker complained, and he glowered into his mug.
I haven't got anything left for a god to take, after all.
What did this fake god take from you? I asked, and I held my breath in the hopes that the barkeep had drunk enough to loosen his tongue.
Everything! My heart! My home! My happiness!
His voice broke as he fell into silence, and as he stared into his mug, his shoulders shook with unshed tears. Well, maybe I'd pushed him too far, but I was getting closer, and I wasn't ready to give up just yet.
Ding!
Stryker sat. I poured the beers, but this time I remained standing. We drank in silence for a long time, and then I refilled his mug before finally sitting down at his side. You have encountered a false prophet, a fake god, and he took everything from you. I looked around at the beautifully crafted tavern. But you still have your livelihood. To shut out the help being offered to you is to give up, and you don't strike me as a quitter.
I wasn't before. Before Abby left, I was the strongest man in town, and everyone looked up to me. I had to leave that place. I came here, but now I'm the pathetic barkeep who's always drunk on his own slop.
Realization struck me like a ton of bricks. The fake god had taken off with Stryker's wife, and it was a wound he could not bear to repair. I asked a few more questions, since his tongue had been sufficiently loosened, and I learned a great deal about the source of Stryker's rage. A man had visited Stryker's home city long before I'd been summoned to this world, and he'd promised the ladies of the town riches beyond their dreams, as long as they followed him on his sacred journey. It reminded me of Charles Manson, but who was I to judge? Either way, this creep managed to convince Stryker's wife to go away with him, and the two of them cleaned out Stryker's home and business of every single valuable before they disappeared. Then Stryker sold his tavern there and made the journey out to this village, far away in the wilderness, to restart his life. The poor man had been left empty-handed and broken-hearted, and that pain had settled into a deep jadedness he still carried around. I knew what to do now.
Ding!
Stryker sat, and I poured him a beer. We drank in silence for a while, and then I poured him a second one. Stryker, I am not who you are angry with. You are mad at false gods and unfaithful women. I'm sorry Abby left you, but this is your home now, and the people here love you. You are a valued part of this community, and I appreciate the care you have given to the villagers during this tough period.
How did you know about Abby? I've never told a damn soul about it here. I've been too embarrassed.
There is no need to feel shame, I said as I put my arm over his shoulder. You are a good man who provided a wonderful life for her. There is nothing wrong with you. She was a weak woman tempted by a charlatan. Not all women are like that. And you should hear what the rest of the town thinks about you.
Thinks about me?
He gasped, and then his face frowned as his eyes grew angry. They love you, Stryker. The barkeep is the most important part of the town. You aren't the mayor, but you help guide the community. You aren't a priest, but you soothe people's fears. You aren't a matchmaker. But I'm sure you've helped set up plenty of marriages here.
Yeah, I have.
Stryker chuckled and then glanced down at his beer.
They really love me here?
Yep. I nodded. We need you here. And I promise you things are just going to get better. I envision a healthy town that turns into a city. I see your tavern being at the heart of it all. Twice the size, with whitewashed walls, a large bar, singing and dancing. I see you with a wonderful woman at your side. A woman who loves how hard you work to give back to your community. I see a woman with a beauty that is only surpassed by her work ethic and her devotion to you. I see a woman who will love you because of how much you love and protect this town.
You? You see all that?
He blinked his eyes at me. Yes. I nodded. I'm not asking you to worship me. I'm just asking for you to give me a chance. I'm just asking you to continue doing what you've been doing. Especially when I'm visiting the Duke. I need men I can trust here, taking care of everyone.
I guess I could keep doing that?
Good, I said as I patted him on the back. During my travels, if I hear of this other false god, I'll be sure to deal with him for you.
You have killed many men,
Stryker allowed in a thoughtful voice.
You would really add my revenge to your conscience?
I would rather carry the burden of darkness than have my people suffer through the pain of it. I nodded my head slowly, the way I'd seen some priests do.
It's the least I can do for someone who has sacrificed so much for this town.
I want you to understand how much I appreciate you. It did the trick. Stryker's eyes lit up with renewed hope, and he clasped my hands to his.
I do not know how you can see into my heart so clearly, but this favor brings a new reason to live. I will do as you say. I will continue to be the steward of this town, and if you ever get thirsty, my taps are always open to you.
That is not necessary, I said with a dismissive wave of my hand. I'm just happy I could help you find peace. I laid my hand on his shoulder again, and I received a warm smile in return. It was such a complete contrast to the rage he'd directed at me a short while before, and I made sure to save my progress so I didn't have to deal with an angry Stryker anymore. I felt invincible as I made my way out of the tavern and back to my house. It had been a long day, and tomorrow would be even longer, since the majority of our preparations would be completed within the next 24 hours. I wanted to leave at dawn, the morning of the full moon. That way I could track our progress more efficiently. I had one more day in Bastionville, and I wanted to make it count. I scampered home and joined my sleeping women in our bed. It was a little cramped with the three of us, but that just forced us to cuddle, so I wasn't going to complain. In the future, though, it would be nice to get a huge California king-sized mattress. But I didn't even know if they made those in this world. The two girls were already out of bed by the time I woke up in the morning, but that wasn't surprising, considering how much later I'd stayed up to talk to Stryker. I was glad I'd put that conflict behind me, though, and I was once again confident everyone in Bastionville was on my side. I dressed quickly and put on my belt with the scabbard for the sorcerer's dagger pressed comfortingly against my leg. Then I went about my tasks for the day. My first stop would be the general store, since I hadn't gotten a chance to speak with Kalia about what she'd need me to return with yet. The bell on the door dinged when I entered, and I was greeted with a warm smile from the beautiful, dark-skinned woman.
Oh, great one. What a pleasant surprise.
The owner of the general store stood behind the counter, and she wore a modest blue dress that made her skin look even darker, and a white apron over the front that brought out her innocence. Oh, I longed for the chance to get to know the beautiful young woman more, but that would have to wait until I returned from my journey. Good morning, Kalia, I said, and I gave her my best smile. I was rewarded with a pretty blush, and I created another save point just in case I decided to flirt with her a bit.
What can I do for you, great one?
Kalia asked in a low, demure voice. She was obviously overwhelmed with my presence, and her nervousness amused me. It's more about what I can do for you. I countered with a wink, and I got another blush for my efforts.
What do you mean?
What does the general store need to be fully stocked? I grinned. I plan on bringing back lots of things to add to these empty shelves.
Oh, my, that's wonderful news.
Kalia smiled with pure sunshine, and my heart warmed at the sight of her joyful expression. I loved bringing light into people's eyes, It had to be my favorite part of being a god. Then the dark-skinned beauty fetched some paper and a charcoal pencil, and the two of us cruised through the aisles to jot down things needed for the store. She was in dire need of more food, seeds, and livestock grain, but she also recommended I find more mules, carts, and workers for the mines. I didn't know where I would find all the things now decorating my list, but I was confident I'd figure it out somehow, even if it took me a lifetime.
Corleone is about a half day's ride from Bastionville. They also have a copper mine, but last I heard it was starting to run dry. I bet some of the miners are out of work by now, and they'd be happy to relocate to such a young mine.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful advice, I replied, and I gave her another one of my dazzling smiles. Kalia let out a girlish giggle, and my body responded to her overwhelming femininity. She was super cute.
How are you going to travel?
Kalia asked, and she pulled me out of my dirty thoughts. Well, I figured we'd take turns riding Lucien's old horse, I said with a shrug. I hadn't actually given it much thought, but there would be three of us traveling together.
I bet Gerolf would part with a couple of his steeds.
Someone mentioned that before. It's worth the ask. I'd be bringing them back with me, after all.
It's that or a wagon.
The more I thought about it, the more I realized she was right. It would be unfair to ask my women to walk while I rode, even if we were taking turns. I'd just have to make sure everyone had a mount, or get a wagon. My next stop was Gerolf's farm, and I checked in on the repairs to his barn first. The roof was sealed, and the door was fixed, so it was in much better shape. The farmer joined me at the barn, and he shook my hand firmly.
"Oh, thanks for having the workers fix up my house and barn,"
Gerolf said with a grateful smile.
"Oh, I'm in your debt."
You may be able to fix that, I said with a grin, if you're up for it.
"Oh, name it, great one,"
Gerolf said with an enthusiastic nod.
"Your wish is my command."
"I'll need a couple of horses, if you can spare them." I turned my gaze to his field, where his three steeds were munching on the dried grasses. "Why does that one look different?" I'd pointed to one of the horses with great big floppy ears sticking straight up from its head. The odd-looking horse was shorter than the rest, and his coat was scruffier, but he looked sturdy. Gerolf chuckled.
"Well, because that one's a mule. I actually only have one horse. The other one with his head down is a mule, too."
"I see." I frowned. I'd heard about mules, but mostly from jokes, so I didn't know if one of my girls would be willing to ride on it. I supposed if they raised a fuss, we could just scrounge up a wagon of some kind. "Well, I'll take it," I grinned. "And the horse, too."
"Very well, great one,"
Gerolf said, as he bobbed his head in agreement.
"I'll have them both taken to the stable where your horse Cotinus is at."
"Yeah, I'm thinking about changing the name," I said with a frown. I didn't like the idea of keeping the same name as Loser Lord. Plus, Cotinus was just lame-sounding. I wanted my war horse to sound intimidating.
"That is your choice, great one,"
Gerolf laughed. I said goodbye to the farmer and headed back to my house for some food. But I ran into Jax on the way there. The blacksmith had his arms full of my gear and weapons, so I lightened his load some before we continued on to my dwelling.
"Keep your blades sharp and your armor repaired,"
Jax grunted in an ominous tone.
"Once you're away from my forge, I won't be able to help you."
I'll come back in one piece, don't worry. Jax clapped me on the shoulder and let out a booming laugh that shook the walls of my house.
"Are you better? This town still needs you."
"You'll start training the guards and make sure the wall construction gets going soon?" I asked, as worry for the town's safety in my absence rushed through me. I was definitely going to miss Bastionville, but I was also excited to see what laid ahead. I felt like I'd mastered this area, and I was ready for a new challenge.
"I'll take care of everything. You? Just focus on enjoying your trip."
"Oh, he will enjoy it, all right,"
Mahini chirped as she and Alyssa strode into the house behind me.
"I'll make sure of it."
"Ah, That's a good woman right there. To take care of each other and come back in one piece.
I promise.
Mahini and I both said simultaneously. Missed you this morning, I said as Jax headed out the door, and I could now give my women my full attention. Where'd you go?
I took Mahini to the inn for one last luxurious bath.
Alyssa informed me with a devilish wink.
We wanted to be as clean as possible for you.
I smell amazing, I said as I inhaled her soft floral scent. Their hair was damp, but while Mahini's locks hung limply around her face, Alyssa's seemed even more full of life, and droplets slung across the room as she spun in a circle. The whole combination was intoxicating, but I didn't have time to enjoy it fully. I wanted to make sure all the preparations were in order, and then I'd make slow, sweet love to my women before we left. I was thinking about renaming Katinus to something cooler, I informed the two women in a hopeful voice. I knew they wouldn't argue with me, but programming from my old life still made me nervous occasionally.
Something like ice?
Alyssa asked with a grin.
Ice is cool, right?
Funny. I was thinking something more intimidating, like Thunder, or Tiny, or Goliath. Yeah, Goliath. Yeah, that horse is big enough to have earned a good, strong name.
It's settled then.
Mahini clapped her hands together.
The horse's name is now Goliath. Whatever that means.
Oh, it's from an old story. I informed her with a smirk. Goliath was a giant, and he was defeated by a small boy who threw stones at him.
That does not sound like a powerful warrior.
Well, he wasn't Never mind. I still like it. I grinned.
Then Goliath it is. But what if the other horses Garoff took to the stables? Toria said you got them for us?
Word certainly traveled fast around this little town. I, took one of his mules and the mare with the white dot in her forehead. I told my beautiful red-haired wife. You two can name them.
Oh, I've ridden the mare before.
Alyssa flashed a brilliant smile my way, and her freckles danced with joy.
I always called her Star because of the marking on her face.
Well, Star it is. And, you, Mahini, what would you like to name the mule?
I would want my steed to be sturdy and steadfast.
The desert goddess said in a thoughtful voice, and she tapped her fingers against her soft lips. Then her blue eyes lit up, and she lifted her chin.
Warrior.
Very well. Now, all our horses and our mule have new names, I said with a dramatic flourish of my hands. It is official.
You are silly. It is very amusing.
Suddenly a knock sounded on the door, and the three of us swiveled to look in the direction of the entrance. Alyssa crossed the distance to the door in a few quick steps, and she pulled it open to reveal Elrin standing on the threshold. The town leader grinned wide when he saw the three of us, and his daughter beckoned him inside.
I was hoping I could catch you while you weren't busy.
Elrin began, and he pulled out several sheets of folded-up paper.
I brought the maps you requested.
Ah! Excellent. I rubbed my hands together, and then held them out for the maps. Thank you so much.
Merely what any father would do to ensure his daughter takes the safest path possible.
Oh, thank you, Daddy.
Alyssa hugged him and gave him one of her to-die-for smiles.
It means a lot to me that you are okay with me leaving town.
I do not seem to be able to stop you anymore.
Elrin chuckled, and he rubbed his ample belly absently before he jerked his chin toward the maps in my hand.
Are you going to look at them?
Of course, I laughed, and then I led everyone into the kitchen so I could use the table to spread out the papers on. One was a map just of the town, another was the road to the east, and it showed the Duke's castle as well as several other small towns. I saw two possible paths to take. But one avoided the majority of the villages, so I pointed to the more roundabout way. I think we'll be taking this road.
That would be wise. Bandits often wait in ambush on the more heavily trafficked routes, so a more roundabout direction would be safer.
I can handle a few bandits, but I want to establish trade routes as well. We need to get commerce flowing through here as soon as possible. I stared down at the road I'd soon be traveling on, and excitement coursed through my veins. Oh, I was beyond ready to see what the rest of this world had to offer. I took my charcoal pencil I'd gotten from Kalia, and I marked the path I wanted to take on the map. Elrin nodded his approval and pointed to the next town over.
This is Carleone, an older town than Bastionville, but similar in size and purpose. Well, at least we used to be similar in size before the attacks.
Yeah, I spoke to Kalia about Carleone, and I already plan on scavenging any out-of-work miners for our own copper mine. I grinned as Elrin sputtered.
That is wise, Great One,
he finally said, once he regained his composure.
You know best, after all.
Damn straight I knew best. I grinned at the leader of Bastionville, and then I folded up the maps he'd given me. Thank you for the maps, Elrin. They will come in handy. I placed a hand on his shoulder and looked into his eyes. I promise I will keep your daughter safe. Not a single hair on her head will come to harm. You have my word. Elrin nodded solemnly.
Thank you, Great One.
Then, the leader of Bastionville hugged his daughter tightly, waved goodbye, and headed out of my dwelling to the streets beyond. I stood with an arm wrapped around each of my women as I watched him go, and then I closed the door and turned them toward the bedroom.
Now, it's our turn to enjoy a little rest and relaxation before we leave, I informed them in a kingly voice.
Alyssa giggled and scampered toward the bedroom, and her tight little ass jiggled with her every step. Mahini swayed her hips as she sauntered ahead of me, and by the time I reached the bedroom, both women had begun to undress. It was good to be the god of time. I made a new save point, so time was meaningless, and I lost myself in their bodies until the sun came up. Then, after I was satisfied with how many climaxes I'd given each of them, I finished deep inside each of their accepting bodies and finally passed out into a deep, dreamless sleep. The sun rose bright and early, but the three of us were already awake by the time the first rays peeked over the horizon. I dressed in my full armor and strapped my weapons to my side, and then I gathered up our bags and followed my two women out the door. I turned to give one last look at my new dwelling. It had been nice to have my own place, but we'd likely be doing a lot of staying at inns or camping along the way from here on out. Geralf met us at the stables, and the early rising farmer was more chipper than I felt so close to dawn. He helped us to saddle our horses and strap on our packs, and then the three of us mounted up. We aimed our horses toward the outskirts of town and rode into the sunlight. A whole new world of possibilities was opening up before us, and I quickened the pace to a trot as my excitement got the better of me. I couldn't wait to get more followers and more believers in each town I visited. I was about to change the world. The people here just didn't know it yet. But they were about to find out exactly who I was.